to write some good songs. Get your Bibles, go to Romans chapter number 8 and Luke chapter number 15. Romans 8 and Luke chapter number 15. It's preaching time for just a moment. I know we're getting on the late in the hour of our service, but I've been wrestling. I wrestled this morning. Brother Epps is in the service, and I'm having that I told y'all about that snot problem. Amen. If you're real dignified, it's sinus drainage. If you're just old redneck country boy, it's snot. Man, I got a problem with snot. And so y'all are redneck people. Anybody wear an orange suit jacket like that's a redneck. And you understand what I mean. Amen. I went to Brother Epps. I said, can you preach this morning? He said, I'm having voice trouble. I said, man, I'm trying to punt to somebody else. And we did the best we could this morning. I appreciate how the Lord's helped us. And he's back again tonight. Brother Bryant's back again tonight. And I thought about having one of them arm wrestles, see who was going to win to preach this evening. But I want to preach for just a minute. I mean this. If you just give me a few minutes tonight, I want to lay out my thought. And really been burdened all afternoon to preach this. It's not deep, but it's maybe a little different twist on Luke 15. If you will, stand with me. We've been using Romans chapter 8. We've been preaching on the subject of victory in Jesus. The Bible said this was our main text verse for our series we were preaching. And Paul wrote in Romans 8 and in verse number 37, after describing all the things we go through life, that there's going to be times when we're distressed. There's going to be times of tribulation. There's going to be hardships. There's going to be problems. In fact, if you're saved, the way that Paul said you're going to live your life is in verse number 36, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Now, that ain't really encouraging to be thinking that, man, the days of my life that I live are going to be lived like I'm some sheep that's getting ready to be slain. But he said and gives us the hope in verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And the fact of the matter is, you can't change the things that are going to come against you in life. They're going to come. You might as well get ready. Hardship is coming. Troubles are coming. Bills have got to be paid. There's going to be problems at work. There's going to be problems in church. You can't change any of that. The hope is, in all these things, we still can have a spirit of victory. We've been made and saved to be victors, to be overcomers, to be conquerors. Even more than that, as Paul said, and in all these things, we are more than conquerors. And so we preached a message out of Romans 8 on victory in Jesus, how we've been saved to have that victory. And then we preached a message out of Peter on victory over suffering. We preached several messages on victory over the world. Last Sunday night, we depressed everybody and preached on victory over depression. And Brother Epps walked out saying, man, I've never been more depressed in all my life. And I was too. Amen. I was looking for a bottle of pills and, amen, looking for a ditch to run into on the way home. But, amen, we ought to have victory over these things. And tonight, I want to deal with something I think that we all have faced, are facing, or will face at some time in our life. Look with me in Luke chapter number 15. And bear with me, I'm going somewhere. The Bible said in verse 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would find grain and filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants my father's had bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Boy, I'm glad God treated me that way when I come to be saved. Amen. The Bible said in verse 21, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And notice the end of verse 24, and we'll pray. The Bible said, and they began to be merry. They began to be merry. You say, what's that mean? There was a spirit of victory, a spirit of laugh, a spirit of joy. It came back on that home that had been faced with trouble and discouragement and fussing and cussing and fighting and feuding. They found victory over family trouble. I want to preach on that tonight for a few minutes. Victory over family trouble. Father, I love you tonight. I want to thank you that, Lord, you provided a way since you saved us, and we can have victory over all things that come against us in this life. Lord, I do ask you that, Lord, for the next 25 minutes or so, that, Lord, you'd help us. And Lord, give us wisdom, Lord. May we communicate the word of God in the right way. And Lord, may you get honor and glory, and may homes and families be helped. And Lord, we'll bless you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I was told some years ago as I began to pastor by an older pastor that, and I even to this day have a lot of respect for, he told me and another young preacher, he said, if you want to, amen, not have any more trouble in the ministry than what you're going to have, he said, don't preach on the family and don't preach on the home. Just stay out of people's business. But I personally believe that it's true, the statement that has been made. And as goes your home, so goes our church. And we're living in a generation, as we even come to this story tonight, and I believe can identify with some things that are going on here tonight. And I'll deal with this maybe a little differently than we've heard it. But we know this story well, this story of the prodigal son, as we're introduced to this story and this parable and the family life and scene that is going on in this passage. Well, I believe we've had a family that is facing trouble. As this scene begins to unfold, we see it. And there's a son mad or upset for whatever reason with his father. There's division that creeps in. We'll deal with some of this in a moment. My friend, one thing is clear. This family begins, as we're introduced to them, with some trouble. You do understand the iron, the generation that we're living. And my friend, many families are plagued with family trouble. Trouble in their home life. Trouble between husband and wife. Trouble between parents and children and sibling rivalries and all sorts of family trouble that we see in our day. You say, preacher, what do you mean? What are you talking about? In our very generation that I'm preaching to tonight, nearly seven now out of 10 marriages are ending in divorce, and it's a sad statistic tonight. In recent years, for the first time in American history, there's as many or more divorces going on in the realm of Christendom and religion than there are in those outside of the walls of the church tonight. And so, my friend, we understand troubles on every hand. There are issues and problems and difficulties that come our way. And you say, but preacher, I'm saved. Well, praise God. But, hey, man, your wife still got a sin nature, and you still got a sin nature. nature, that, and you're young and still have a sin nature, and you're going to have family trouble that you've got to learn to deal with. There are people tonight, you can't worship God because of the family trouble that you've dealt with in your home this week. There are people that can't sing with the joy of the Lord in their heart, and my friend, they'll never attain the heights of victory that God wants them to have personally until they deal with getting victory over family trouble. The fact of the matter is tonight, there's probably some people here this evening that behind your smiling face, there is brokenness in your heart about things you've got to deal with at home, things that maybe are or are not your fault. There's trouble at the house. Amen. Can I say God wants you to get victory over that tonight? And God, I believe in this story, shows you in that a family and typifies a family. And I know the context of it. I know how the context of this passage and story is to be preached. And if you let me tonight, I want to lift it up off the page and show you how you can go from defeat in family life to living in victory. And I want to go on record tonight and say, and I thank God for my family. I thank God for my wife, and I thank God for my 6 babies that God has blessed me with. Amen. Everything ain't always sunshine and roses down in the Ledbetter house. Amen. We got the same flesh that you have. Amen. My wife's as mean as your wife is. Somebody say amen. Amen. And I'm as mean as your husband is. Amen. I have bad days and I get grumpy. Amen. And you do too. Amen. Take your halo off. There's days our youngins don't behave and make us want to pull our hair out. My friend, we got to learn how to deal with family trouble. Amen. I'm telling you now, bears repeating again tonight. There are people that are suffocating in their spiritual life because of the trouble that they won't deal with in the house. Amen. Can I say tonight? Amen. I believe this story, though it begins with the family in trouble, it ends with victory and merriment. The Bible said that my friend threw a series of events and people getting sick of where they were. And my friend, that his son comes back home, and we'll see in a moment, forgiveness is extended, repentance is made. And the Bible said that my friend, as we're introduced to them in defeat, that they began to be merry. Wouldn't you like, amen, to have a family laugh like that? Sir, we're at the end of a long day. Amen. You look forward to going home rather than dreading coming home. Ma'am, you look forward to your husband walking through the door rather than saying, oh no, he's going to be here in another 10 minutes and have yourself in a fit. Amen. That's no way for a Christian family to live. Amen. I want us to get the place in my family's life where we began to be merry, and we are, and we're happy. Amen. Just the few days of the year that we're not. Amen. We need this message. Somebody help me and say amen. Amen. Y'all smile a while. It'll help me. Amen. Get done in a hurry. And so, tonight we're preaching on victory over family trouble. Buckle your seatbelt. Amen. There's a little turbulence coming down the way now. Amen. Let me deal with that. This passage of Scripture, several things about family trouble and how to get the victory over it. Number one, we got to understand the reason for family trouble. Why is it that we have fusses and spats? And why is it that, my friend, we have knocked down, drag out? Amen. Somebody said, well, when I got married, amen, divorce, since I've been married, divorce ain't an option. Murder has crossed my mind a time or two. Anybody ever felt that way? Amen. We have to be honest now. Some of y'all bowing your head. Amen. It ain't prayer time. Amen. And divorce ain't ever been an option. But son, amen, I know Miss Katie's one at a time or two. to pick up that cast iron frying pan and knock me slam in the third heaven. Amen. And just deal with it. Amen. But why is it? What is the reason that we have family trouble? Listen to me now, please. Especially, amen, those of us that have young children and young families tonight. I'm not just preaching on parents. I'm preaching on the whole family unit tonight. Amen. Number one, I say that as we're introduced to this family in all their trouble, notice with me that their trouble was resolved and came about because of selfishness. Because of selfishness. The Bible said in verse 12, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me. You know what the boy's problem was? Is a selfish, spoiled little brat that was going to have his way no matter how it affected anybody else. And I say that's usually the first root cause of all family trouble is selfishness. Amen. We want our own way. We're going to have our own way. Nobody's going to withhold from us what we desire to have. We don't care if it hurts our husband. We don't care if it hurts our wife. We don't care if it hurts our parents. We don't care if it hurts our children. Because we're a bunch of selfish, spoiled brats and create family trouble. Amen. I told you, buckle your seatbelt. Amen. Amen. You go getting selfish and you get in the place, amen, where everybody's going to hear you. They're going to hear you out. They're going to make sure that they know. You're going to make sure that they know where you stand and what your opinion is. Amen. And then you wonder why you're always in a knockdown, drag out. Amen. Why things are not smooth at home. Amen. Why you're constantly threatening. My friend to leave one another and cause all kinds of chaos in the home. Amen. Let's just be honest about it. You're selfish. That's why you got all the trouble you do. Old boy said, give me. I don't care about you, Dad. Give me. I don't care how it's going to affect my brother. Just give me what I want. Amen. That's why there's so much divorce today. That's why some of y'all come in, you can't enjoy church, can't get in on it, because, amen, you're a selfish, spoiled little brat that's going to have your way no matter what. Amen. Amen. You might as well look on up in here. I think in almost, amen, a year of preaching this first full family message I've preached, so y'all hang on, I'm going to get it out tonight. Selfishness always creates family trouble. Give me, give me. Hey, give me, give me. It's all about me, 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 me. I don't care about you. It's all about me. Amen. Amen. Well, I can tell this is going to go over like screen doors on a submarine. Amen. Amen. Selfishness is killing us. Amen. Can I say if you're saved tonight and a child of God, you have been called to be a servant. You have been called to give of yourself to everybody around you. Amen. I can't stand a bossy woman. Amen. That's going to have her way and run her home. Amen. And thumb on her husband and thumb on her children. Amen. I tell you tonight, all that is selfishness. Amen. A husband that, amen, treats his wife like a doormat. Amen. Treats his children, amen, like they're a bunch of slaves. Hey, you say, I'm the head of the house. Well, if you got to, amen, remind all of us of that, amen, you probably ain't as big a head as you think you are. Amen. You got to go around saying you the boss and, amen, you the Lord and you're in charge. Amen. Every time you open your mouth, you just prove you ain't as in charge as you say you are. Whoa. Amen. Selfishness. Selfishness. I'm going to be seen for who I am. Amen. I'm going to probably make somebody mad. Your problem is you're a selfish, spoiled brat and you need to grow up. Children, you ever seen children so selfish in all your life? Now, I ain't for this. Amen. I ain't for this. We all go in the toy room and this youngin has his own toy and he's got to share with everybody and they take his toy and give it. I ain't for all that. But my friend, listen, we got a bunch of spoiled brats we're raising. everything handed to them. We're raising them to be selfish. Wonder why we got so much problem. I ain't going to get off this point. Amen. Amen. Selfishness will breed, my friend, family trouble in your life. Selfishness. Number two, rebellion. Notice this boy gets his way. And by the way, the daddy should have never given him his way. The daddy should have said, you ain't getting it till I die. He gives in and he lets his boy, amen, exercise his selfishness. Where did he go? It's amazing he didn't run down the church and get involved and be all that God wanted to be. The Bible said he took his journey into a far country and got down there. You listen, began living riotous living. He began do things contrary to the word of God. He began to live his life contrary to the law of God and the precepts of God, ignoring all that God had given to him in his word. And as say, rebellion breeds family trouble. You get crossed up with that book, it won't be long you'll be crossed up with your wife, sir. Amen. Amen. How you gonna be right with the wife you can see, and you ain't even right with the God you can't see? Amen. How you going to be right with God, ma'am? How you going to be right with God and you can't even be right with the husband you can see? Amen. Amen. He walks in the door and you're gonna buck him and throw off and won't submit and live in subjection. Hey, rebellion always brings family trouble. Amen. I thought I read something over there, amen, about we're all to be submitted one to the other. Amen. We got men expect their wives to be submitted to them, and they won't submit the man of God. They won't submit to God. They won't submit the word of God. They won't submit the spirit of God, but they gonna make sure their wife follows them. You hypocrite. Amen. Rebellion, your rebellion breeds family trouble, and you don't even realize it. Whoa, hallelujah. Somebody help me. Amen. Selfishness, rebellion. Number three, I got to hurry. Pride. Pride not only created family trouble, but it was grounds to maintain family trouble. This boy goes down, he's been selfish, he's been rebellious, and he gets down there by jail in the far country, and there he begins to be in want as a famine comes in the land. And that'd have been a good time to humble down and say, man, I've messed up, I need to get my tail back home and get right with my family and get right and restore what I've lost. And in his pride, what's he do? He joins himself to a citizen of that country and winds up feeding and eating with swine. What would possess a young man to do that, Lucas? And we'll tell you what it was. His pride. He didn't want to humble down and say daddy was right. He didn't want to humble down and say I'm the one that's wrong in all this. And I say that's what creates a lot of our family trouble, is stinking pride. There's a verse over there, and it's a good verse. It's a clear verse. Brother Dane, over there in the book of Proverbs, Solomon said, only by pride cometh contention. Yeah. Only by pride. If there's contention and trouble in your home, you got pride, amen, and somebody else in the home probably has pride. You can't have contention where there ain't any pride. Right. Solomon said it's only, and in fact, he goes so far to say that in a company and in a congregation, if you'll cast out the scorner, that one that's filled with pride, he said the contention will cease. That wherever there is pride, you can mark it down, there's going to be issues and trouble that is created in that family and home environment. For sure. Well, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Amen. I know preacher ain't going to tell you, and God ain't going to tell you, and the Bible ain't going to tell you, and your spouse ain't going to tell you, and you're going to go right on in your family trouble the way it's always been. Amen. The reasons. Y'all want me to get off that? I'm about ready to get off that. Pride's killing us. Amen. Pride and selfishness and rebellion, the reasons of family trouble. I'm going somewhere. Hang with me. Number two, notice the results of family trouble. It's always sad when a family, amen, begins to go through family trouble. And I believe there's a sad story in this passage. There's sad results that take place. And if you're not careful, begin to creep up and begin to abide in your family. Number one, there's a result. Amen. If you let family trouble go on and on and on, number one, it will result in division. In this story, because of the family trouble, you end up with a father who is divided from his son, a son who is divided from his father. You got brothers that have taken sides and are divided amongst one another. And my friend, God has called us to unity, and God wants us on the same page. And when, amen, family trouble comes in and you continue in your selfishness and in your rebellion and in your pride, it just creates more division. Division. It creates not only division, but it creates brokenness. When you begin to have family trouble, and when things ain't right between mamas and daddies and their babies, and things ain't right with husbands and wives, and things ain't right between siblings, you know what it creates? It creates a spirit of brokenness. Notice in verse 16, and when it would fain have filled his belly with the husk, and a swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Verse 20 said, and he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, that implies that his father was sitting back at home with brokenness over the decision that his son has made. There's a brokenness in his heart. He's longing for it to be restored. He's longing for it to be mended. He's longing for it to be better than what it is in that moment. When you allow family trouble to come in and you don't deal with it and you don't conquer it and you don't get victory, it creates brokenness on the inside of your heart. It would break our hearts tonight to know how many wives have allowed family trouble to come in. My friend, it's divided them, but their heart is so broken and miserable over where they are that while their spouse is next to them sleeping or in another room sleeping or on the couch sleeping, they're crying themselves to sleep at night. We'd be amazed tonight how many children in Newport this evening, because of family trouble, while mom and daddy is fussing and fighting in the next room, they're weeping and crying under a burden of brokenness. I know what I'm talking about. In nearly 13 years of pastor, and I've counseled more than one family, amen, and talked with more than one family's children. I had a young man tell me one time, I was trying to deal with him on issues, and I began to try to speak to him spiritual things and try to lead him along. And Brother Maurice, he said, listen, preacher, he said, you don't know how it is at home. I said, what do you mean? He said, you know the daddy that stands up and shouts and throws his hand in the air and acts like a spiritual giant at church. He said, when we go home, daddy's punching holes in the walls and mama's cussing daddy. He said, in fact, preacher, just last week we had to call the law to come out and break mom and daddy up. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about sitting in an independent, fundamental, Bible-preaching church, and there was a young man broken over the condition that the family trouble he was living in had broken him down. Number three, it results in anger. The son eventually comes back. You know the story. The elder brother hears all the singing and hears all the merriment and the victory that's going on, and he calls his servant over and said, what in the world is going on? They said, your brother's come home and your daddy's excited. And you remember the story that he wouldn't even go into the house. Why? Because the Bible said he was filled with anger. You know what family trouble eventually do? It'll lead you to the point where you're absolutely hard to deal with because you're so angry all the time. Amen. There are some people I can't even counsel because they wear a chip on their shoulder. They're so mad at everybody because of the way their family life has been. Listen, if we just humble down and do what's right, we could deal with the issues. But when you let family trouble come in, you'd be amazed how many wives are angry at their husbands, how many husbands sitting, maybe even right here in the crowd of probably 100 or better tonight, that are angry at their wives. You wonder why you try and go down to pray and heaven's like brass. Wonder why God don't walk with you, why His nearness and realness is not overflowing in your life. Hey, I'm telling you tonight, till we deal with our family trouble and get rid of the anger and get rid of the brokenness and get rid of the division, we ain't going to have no victory in our walk with God. Everybody all right? All right, here's the good part, the remedy for family trouble. How did it all get from the place where it was miserable to being merry? How did it go from being vicious to having victory? We'll tell you how. Number one, watch this in verse 17 and 18. The Bible said, and when he came to himself, that just means he got sick and tired of it. He got sick and tired of it. He got tired of the division. He got tired of the brokenness. He got tired of the anger that was in his heart. Brother Chris, he seen where he was and how bad it had gotten. There was a personal recognition. That's how it gets better. That's how there's a remedy for family trouble. There must be a personal recognition. He said, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's had bread enough and to spare, and I have perished with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. You know what that is, Brother Hale? That's personal recognition. He's saying, it ain't my daddy's fault. I've been blaming daddy. I've been blaming everybody else in my family, and I'm the one that's got the problem. I'm the one that's created the vision. I'm the one that's created the brokenness. I'm the one that's angry. He gets to the place where there's personal recognition. I'm going to tell you something. Till you quit worrying about all your wife's faults, you ain't going to have victory. Until you quit worrying about all your husband's faults, you ain't going to have victory. Until you get the place there's personal recognition and you own your own part in the family trouble, there ain't going to be no victory. Everybody okay? Hey, youngins, you always thinking, man, mom and daddy this and mom and daddy that. Until you get over blaming them for all the family trouble and own your own part. Amen. Well, I'm the way I am because this and because of that. Amen. Mama and daddy, they didn't let me get a happy meal. Oh, Lord. And they're mad about it. Mad for 20 years because way back yonder in AS5, mom and daddy didn't get them a happy meal. And let bitterness breed. Why don't you own your own, have personal recognition and say, it ain't mom and daddy's fault. It ain't my brother's fault. It ain't my sister's fault. It ain't my parents' fault. It ain't my children's fault. And own your own, have personal recognition. Till you come to yourself, you'll never do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Ain't we having time? I had a young man come to me and he said, Preacher, me and my wife's going to divorce. I said, what in the world? Y'all ain't been married 2 years. He said, I called her on the phone, texting with another woman, inappropriate things. I thought, wow. I wouldn't want to live with that either. I got talking with him, and I'm not trying to be out of the way, and I'm not trying to just bring up things. I'm just showing you. He was so mad at that, but he didn't tell me that he's the one that introduced her to it. Everybody okay? It's amazing what we introduce into our family, and then we go getting upset about it, and we want to blame everybody else in the family for why we are the way we are. There must be personal recognition about what I've brought into the family trouble. Yeah, man. Number two, there's got to be proper repentance. After he recognized his part, he went back home and said, I'm sorry. I don't know if there's other men in here like me. I think if you're a red-blooded, redneck man, There's two words you just hate to say. I hate to say it. There's four words I don't like to say. Five words I don't like to say. I was wrong. I'm sorry. I can't stand. It's bitter. I mean, I can't stand. Is there anybody else in here? I can't stand it when I got to go to my wife and say, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Can't stand it, Brother Johnny. I can't stand it. I've had to do it twice in 16 years of marriage. I can't stand it. But you know what? You ain't ever going to settle the family trouble till you'll humble down enough to say, I'm sorry. We get so hard-headed and hard-nosed, we're going to be right no matter what. I've been that way. Come on now. My wife tell me something. I said, no, you're wrong. Come find out she was right. And she's going to make sure I knew she is right. And I still won't say I'm wrong. Amen. You know what all that does? It just creates more family drama, more family trouble, more heartache, more division, more sorrow, more anger, more resentment. When if we just sit down and look one another in the eyeball and say, I was wrong and I'm sorry. He didn't go back home and say, now, Dad, you know, I had a little bit of part in this, but you know you mistreated me. He didn't blame it on nobody else. He got the place. He just said, I don't care about what you've done. I don't care. I don't care how I felt like you've hurt me. I'm the one wrong. And I not only sinned against you, but I sinned against heaven. You understand, when you have family trouble and you won't get it right, it ain't just a matter of a problem between you and your spouse. It's about you and God. It ain't just you and your children. It's you and God. And he exercised proper repentance. He was humble about it. He got down in the dirt. Do some of us hard-headed, redneck men good, Brother Gerald, go home and get in the dirt and say, I'm low down and sorry and I was wrong. And I need you to forgive me. That brings me a third remedy. I've preached more than 25 minutes, ain't I? Amen. Some of y'all think it's been 3 hours. It ain't. It ain't. There's got to be personal recognition. There's got to be proper repentance. And then notice his father willingly receives him back in. There's got to be, there must be presented restoration. You know what I like about that father? As soon as the boy said, I'm sorry. And I believe even before he said he's sorry, when he seen that old boy trucking it home, I think that old boy had tears running down his cheek. Brother Tim, I think that's snot running down his chin. I think that old daddy said, yeah, he's sorry about it all right. Before he could hardly get it out, his daddy was there kissing on him and hugging on him. You know, it helped some of y'all's marriages tonight if you went home and started kissing on each other.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm dead serious, son. Go home, start kissing on each other. Sit down on the couch, hold each other's hand, light a candle, bless God, set some fireworks off. Sure beats fussing and fighting. Everybody okay?
Amen.
That old daddy got down there and hugged on him and loved on him and kissed him. The Bible said he showed him some compassion.
Sure.
You know what we do good tonight? You say, oh, my husband, my wife, this and that. Won't you show him a little compassion?
Sure.
Amen. Boy, this ain't gone over how I was hoping it would tonight. Brother Will, you need to make any confession tonight? We got this family class going back here, and I'll teach my little heart out. And Brother Will, I said at the end, anybody got a word? Brother Will said, yeah. I got to admit, here's my problem. And he'll make confession, everybody. Poor Heather, y'all need to pray for her. That's a hard one to live with back there. There ought to be presented restoration. When your husband or wife says, I'm sorry, let that be the end of it. Amen. Shout her out, praise God. You ain't always, ma'am, you ain't always got to get the last word in. If he says he's sorry, just drop it. Do you understand how hard it is for him to say, I was wrong, I'm sorry? If you can get that much out of him, bless God, let it go. He don't need counseled. He don't need lectured. Just pick him up and give him a big old kiss and a hug and say, hallelujah. Some of y'all, you bury your hatchets, but you leave them handles sticking up. And the next time he says something you don't like, you reach back there and whack! Won't you bury all of it tonight? I'm dead serious now, and I know we're cutting up, we're having a good time, but I'm dead serious. Our church is growing, and we're seeing good things, and God's giving good services. But if we want to go to another level, and we want to see the blessings of God fall, there's got to be revival in the home. There's got to be husbands and wives willing to get on the altar and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, and get right with each other. These children got to get right with parents because of their rebellion and their stubbornness. Get it right, get it clean, and get it out. You think it's been good now, ain't no telling what God could do here if we get victory over family trouble. Would you mind the Lord? Sister Candy, come on. Let's all stand tonight. I preached a little longer than I intended, but I think we're shooting in the right hole. Amen. I want my family to know, Mom, I love you. I love my wife. Son, there's been some rocky times. There's been times I thought I was going to put her in one of them UFC chokeholds. Amen. There's been some times she wouldn't put me in some of them, Brother David. And she wouldn't have listened to the old tap. She wouldn't know nothing about no tapping out. She'd have tapped me out. But we're here tonight by the grace of God. Married, happy, and enjoying life and serving Jesus together. Victory over family trouble. Would you be humble enough, get on this altar tonight, deal with your junk, get victory tonight. Father, we love you. We're thankful tonight for the goodness of God. Lord, tonight I pray this evening that you'd help us. Lord, maybe tonight there's families here and they don't have no trouble, but Lord, I pray, Lord, White may not be raging tonight. May, Lord, they even make a move to get on this altar and, Lord, commit themselves, Lord, to let the victory that we have in Jesus abound in their home. Lord, maybe there's some children that need to get right with parents. Father, maybe there's parents that need to get right with children. Lord, maybe there's husbands and wives that need to get right with one another. God, I pray, help us have a personal recognition tonight. Lord, help us to have a proper repentance exercised. And then, Father, I pray, help us all to be forgiven and to move on and enjoy life and to begin to be merry as we leave this place tonight. Love you, Lord. Thank you for all you're going to do in Jesus' name. No one's looking around. No one's made a move yet. This altar is open. And if the Lord has spoke to your heart, we got a few children on the altar. That's good. That's good this evening. Would you mind the Lord? Would you mind the Lord tonight? Victory over family trouble. Victory over family trouble. Maybe you need to come get right with God, sir. Ma'am, maybe you need to come get right with God. Is there any husband in here tonight while these are still praying? get on this altar. Say, Lord, help me leave my family rag. Help me step up, be the leader of my home, have victory over the troubles that come our way. Don't be a statistic now. Don't be the next story and illustration, the pastor's message. One more verse, sister.